Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that singing is to be from the heart. From the heart, he says, singing and making melody in your heart. The heart refers to the center of our emotions, our thought, and our will. It speaks of the mind, of the area of life where we do our thinking. The word melody means to pluck or to twitch. It refers to the vibration of strings. It has the idea of someone strumming a harp, strumming a guitar, playing a piano, or some other stringed instrument. When the string is plucked, it begins to vibrate, and it makes music. The picture here is of a harp being strummed by the Holy Spirit. When the Lord strums the spiritual strings of our heart, He'll cause us to break forth into psalms and hymns and spiritual songs for His glory. The whole idea here is that singing and worship that brings glory to God always begins in the heart. It is more than a mere superficial, fleshly response to life. This phrase before us today refers to a deep experience. When the heart is reminded of who God is and what God has done for the child of God, for the saint of God, the strings of our heart begin to vibrate. When the Lord makes His presence real, it is as if He was plucking the very strings of our heart, and He makes them to vibrate, producing music that lifts up ourselves and others to glorify the Lord. The heart must be filled with the glory of the Lord so the brain can engage the tongue and verbal worship can take place. The heart must be filled, brothers and sisters, with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this implies that singing should be more than a mere performance. Some people are talented musicians, and some are talented singers. And some can play and sing and mesmerize an audience with their talents. If they are doing what they do simply because they are good at it, though, it means nothing. If they are simply professionals and it's not from a heart that is right with the Lord, it means nothing. Absolutely nothing. Music that results in worship always rises from a heart that is overwhelmed with love for the Lord. And as He strums the heartstrings, worship and praise are always the result. Many musicians today, they are performers. They're performers and they do it for money, unfortunately. That is the motive. When God strums the heart just right, you might not be able to carry a tune at all. You may sound horrible to the person next to you, but God is still honored by that. It's not whether you can carry a tune or not. It's whether your heart is right with the Lord. You can have a fantastic voice and be a downright wicked person, or you can have a horrible voice and you're right with the Lord. God is honored. Because realize this, if you can't carry a tune, God's the one that gave you that voice. He wants your heart right with Him. Singing from the heart implies that the singer will give some thought to the song that's being sung. In other words, you won't sing it just because it has a good melody. You think it's a good song. You'll sing it because the Lord is making music in your soul. When you're understanding what He has done for you and who He is, you make music in your soul, and you must give a voice to it. true spiritual worship is always, 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 did I stress the point, always a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart, and it arises out of love for the Lord. If you're not singing out loud, you need to repent of that. You need to repent of keeping your mouth shut. It doesn't matter how good it is or how bad it is. It matters if it's from a heart that is right. The excuse can never be, well, I don't because I don't want to offend. Well, you're offending God by not singing praises unto the Lord. That may hurt you to hear that right now. But if you are not singing unto the Lord, and your excuse is, it's because I don't sound good, and what is my neighbor going to think? You care more about your neighbor. You care more about the person next to you. You care more about your own pride, that they'll think because you have such a voice as you do. It doesn't matter. I'm a musician, and I got a horrible voice. But I still open my voice, and I still open my mouth and sing. I might sing out of key very often. But I still open my mouth to praise the Lord. That is what we must do, brothers and sisters. We must praise the Lord. True spiritual worship is always a matter of the heart. It always arises out of love for the Lord. It always results from His work in us. True spiritual worship is always prompted by the Lord, and it always flows back to the Lord, focusing attention on Him and not on you or on the performer. The focus is on Him. We just sing praises unto the Lord, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, as unto the Lord. In verse 20 of our text, the verse tells us that our worship should always arise out of a thankful heart, giving thanks always for all things. All things. When we think about what the Lord has done for us in choosing us, calling us, saving us, keeping us, blessing us, meeting our needs, walking with us, using us, and everything else that He does for us, the heart cannot help but break forth in praise for Him. I challenge you to give yourself to a time to meditate over the work of the Lord in your life. I challenge you to do that. And it'll move you to sing His praises. Consider all that the Lord has done for you. And He will begin to strum the strings of your heart and produce the sweet songs of praise and worship in your soul. Spiritual worship is an event that occurs in the heart and then it spills over into song. It comes forth out of the mouth. The praise comes forth from a heart that is in fellowship with the Lord, that is grateful to the Lord, that wants to bless the Lord. When Paul speaks about our spiritual worship, he says that we are to manifest heartfelt worship in songs that not only glorify God, but edify the church. Do you remember in verse 19 of Ephesians 5, it said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Edifying the church, speaking to one another, speaking to yourselves. He's speaking about the ministry of edification. Our worship of the Lord is a blessing to the other members of the body of Christ. When I see the Lord blessing you, it blesses me. When you worship Him in songs that glorify Him, it builds me up in my faith. When someone sings a spiritual song, it helps me to grow in my faith by reminding me of the person and the power of God. When you hear choirs sing hymns and spiritual songs, they serve to prepare our hearts for the ministry of the Word of God. That's why in services we have songs before the hearing of the Word, before the preaching of the Word. It prepares the heart. Others will feed you and lift your heart to worship. When you hear others singing, praising the Lord, we join our voices together in hymns we lift one another's heart, causes us to worship the Lord. While our worship exists to glorify the Lord, there is a sense in which we worship to help each other grow in the Lord, speaking to one another, because all the hymns and spiritual songs, they're supposed to be jam-packed with Scripture. So if the preaching of the Word causes you to grow, well, it's the same in the singing of songs. It's going to cause growth. And not only cause growth, it's going to cause you to memorize Scripture. Everybody can hum a melody. Everybody knows the Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. That's implanted in your head, in your soul, in your heart. While there is a sense in which we sing to be a blessing to others, the real direction, though, of our worship should be, as it says in the text, to the Lord. Verse 19, making melody in your heart to the Lord. We should lift our voices in praise and adoration, glory and honor to the Lord, who gave himself to redeem us from our sins. Our worship, like everything else we do, must be directed to Him. To Him. That's one of the reasons I don't like to give applause to those who sing and play music in the church. When we applaud singing, we're giving the performer the glory. And if they're singing for our applause, they have their reward. If they're singing to the Lord, they don't need our applause. But to sing to the Lord. Our singing and our music in the church needs to be different than the world. The world honors the performer up there, clapping, praising that person. We are to clap and praise as unto the Lord. We don't need to applaud musicians and singers in the church. If anyone should applaud, it should be to the Lord. After all, wasn't the song for him to begin with? The best way we acknowledge the fact that somebody is blessing us with their verbal praise to the Lord is to join with them by offering up our words of praise to the Lord. The best words we can use are the words given to us by heaven. Matter of fact, look at Revelation 19, 1 through 8. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power belongs to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Hallelujah. The smoke rises up forever and ever, and the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God. Praise our God, all you servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it was the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thunder, and saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Hallelujah. Now there, brothers and sisters, is some praise. And it's all to the Lord. Praise our God. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God omnipotent reigns. You hear the voices, and all the voices are directed as unto the Lord. One of the real problems in modern Christian music is the fact that it's become a lucrative source of income for many. Hundreds of millions of dollars are made every year by those who sing and play music. I don't begrudge them for making a living. I think they should, but I do have to wonder about the motives of some people. If you're charging churches $5,000, $10,000 to play a couple of songs, is that really as unto the Lord? seems that's a little excessive to sing a couple songs. And once again, I'm not begrudging it. I'm a musician myself. But 5,000, 10,000, and vice versa. There's speakers that want that kind of money to speak at a conference. So I'm not letting preachers off the hook either. I'm guilty of both charges, a preacher and a musician. Am I in it for the money or am I in it to praise the Lord? I realize some people have to make a living. But those figures I just told you, that's absolutely crazy. There's people speak at conferences, 5,000, 10,000, need a 5-star hotel picked up with a limousine, and vice versa. I was told myself once, we invited somebody to speak at a church, and it was like, you don't have enough of people there. I can't come. Somehow I don't see Jeremiah and Amos and John the Baptist saying, well, you know, I can't preach over there today. There's not enough people. I just don't see that. I think a soul is one soul, one time, is worth everything. Somehow, at some point, brothers and sisters, we have to wonder why people are doing what they do. Is it for the glory of God, or is it for the glory, the money, and the adulation that people receive from others? It's the bottom line. Bottom line. The church needs to hold professional singers and musicians and preachers accountable. We should not tolerate false doctrine, weak doctrine, anti-biblical lifestyles, or greed. It's like, it doesn't matter. Can the person play good music? Fine. Doesn't matter if they're homosexual or lesbian. That's okay. They can sing good. They can play a guitar good or bang on a piano good. We cannot judge the motives of others, but we certainly can observe the fruit of the lives and ministries of others. And we must do everything in our power to guarantee the purity of the music that we're singing and the worship that is being presented in our congregations, brothers and sisters. If it isn't for the Lord, God doesn't want it. God told ancient Israel that he didn't want their chants or he didn't want their songs because it didn't come from a heart that was right with them. Their heart was involved in sin and wickedness. Amos 5, beginning at verse 21. Here's God speaking. I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. The people's hearts, brothers and sisters, were not right with the Lord. And the Lord's like, I hate it. I hate your feast days. I hate your assemblies. I hate your offerings. I will not accept them. I don't regard them. Take them away from me. He didn't say, oh, wow, there are some talented individuals there. I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed the way everybody looks, the way everybody sounds, the money that they're giving, the performance level of the people participating in this gathering. God is like, take it away from me. And I have to ask the question. Is he saying that in our churches today? I have to ask myself the question, is he saying it to me? And is he saying it to you? This is not, oh, well, that was Israel in the days of Amos. No, that is the church today in the year 2018. God wanted their worship, but only if it came from their heart. And nothing, brothers and sisters, has changed about that. The Lord wants our worship, but he wants it to come from a heart that is filled with and overflowing with love and gratitude for him. And anything else is not acceptable. And the Lord would say, take it away from me. And if you think that the Lord is playing with worship that is wrong and praise that is wrong and our lives that are wrong, study the churches in the book of Revelation. And the Lord says, if you don't stop doing this, I'm going to come and put that light out. And all those churches mentioned, their light is out, for they didn't repent. And do we in the West need to repent? And do we need to look at our lives and say, what in the world are we doing here? Are we seeking the applause and the approval of men and women? Or are we seeking the applause and the approval of God Almighty? I'm speaking to the church as a whole, and I'm speaking to myself individually and to you individually. We need to examine ourselves, brothers and sisters. Why do we do the things that we do? And do we do it out of a heart that's given to the Lord? What's the state of your worship today? Can you honestly say your heart is filled with love for the Lord? That it overflows in verbal worship out of your mouth. You don't care what the person thinks next to you. Doesn't matter. That word songs in verse 19 is talking about the hooting of an owl and the croaking of a frog. So it doesn't matter. Are you opening your mouth, singing praise? Is your heart right? Is your heart right? There are those that are hearing today. They've been gifted with voices. They've been gifted with talents to play instruments. But they're not doing it as unto the Lord. They're too busy. They're going to and fro with their lives. Am I talking to you? I know this is a hard way for many. But God Almighty is busy being dishonored today, brothers and sisters, in our lives. Especially with our songs of praise and worship. You hear some of these songs, they're horrible. In content, they may have a catchy melody, but the content of the songs are horrible, and the people that are performing them are carnal. They love the world, they love the things of the world, they love the applause. They just traded in the applause of the world for the applause of the church. And once again, I'm going to say to you, I'm the first to look at it myself, because I'm in that. I'm in that. Why do musicians do what they do? Why do preachers do what they do? Is it as unto the Lord? And lastly, why do you do what you do? Is it as unto the Lord? Whatever it is that you would find yourself doing in the church, is it as unto the Lord? Making melody in your heart to the Lord. And if there would be anyone listening to this message today that has never come to Christ, there's no melody coming from your heart. You're dead in your sins and your trespasses. And you need to be made alive. You need to be born again. And the instant that you become born again, God starts strumming the strings of the new heart that He places in you. And then you too will begin to make melody as unto the Lord. So serious questions today, brothers and sisters, that we all need to ask ourselves. Myself, number one. As soon as I'm done this message, I'll be asking the Lord, are these things true of you, Bill? Whoever would be listening today, are these things true of you? Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Making melody in our hearts as unto the Lord.